Okay, I'd like to call to order the September 18th, 2017 special meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. Okay, the purpose of our meeting is to discuss our expiring renewal levy that expires in December of 19, I believe.
Yes.
Okay.
Kick off with the PowerPoint.
All right.
So just kind of put together a PowerPoint that kind of highlights some of the, you know, the facts of the current levy, and then also goes into, you know, what we think are, I guess, the most likely scenarios we would look for in renewing the levy. So first off, the levy that's expiring was passed in November 2013. It was 6.56 mils. It expires in December 31st, 2019, as Sue had mentioned. Interestingly, it was originally passed way back in 1989. So it's been renewed every 5 years since then.
Are you out of high school yet?
No, I was an eighth grader.
I'd say that's when my daughter was born.
So you're probably aware, you know, the effects of House Bill 920. That 6.56 mils has gone down over the years. So right now it's collecting at 2.691 effective mils for residential, while for commercial it's still at 6.322.
And just for the record, that's because we are only allowed to collect the amount that was originally calculated at that 6.56 when it passed.
Correct. So we're not, because the valuation on your house goes up, we're not supposed to get new revenue because of that. So for that to happen, the millage has to come down, because in Union County, as you're seeing, values are going up pretty much across the board. Currently, that levy is generating approximately $3.2 million. So it is, even though it's a really low millage, it's a very significant amount of money. At $3.2 million, I mean, you could equate it to whatever you wanted to, but $3.2 million is well over 50, you know, teacher salaries and benefits. And you have three chances to, you know, pass or renew a levy. Our first potential renewal date would be November of 2018, so it's just over a year away. And feel free to chime in with any questions.
So the three times would be November of 18, May of 19, and November of 19.
Correct. Right. So I looked at, you know, what are the reasons that we would want to make sure the community understands why we need to pass this levy. So, I mean, obviously the, you know, kind of the obvious reason is if we don't pass it, you know, we're going to hit a deficit sooner. So if this levy were to not be renewed, we'd be looking at a deficit in 2022. I guess the good news is that's quite a ways out. So it shows that, you know, we're pretty fiscally strong right now. But at the same time, it's going to put us in a deficit sooner, meaning we'd be coming back for new money sooner. But two issues I think that are, well, the other issue being it's only collecting at 2.691 mils right now. So it's really a relatively low tax burden on our residential taxpayers at that number. And also this gives a good spot to point out that our total effective operating mils are only just about 26.5 mils right now. To put that in perspective, the minimum that the state requires is 20. So we're only 6 mils above what the minimum level the state requires is. And I think, you know, if you wanted to look and see what some of our, you know, other Central Ohio districts are collecting at, you know, you're going to see numbers up in the 40s. So I think our taxpayers are getting some pretty good bang for the buck.
Where are the ones in the 40s?
They're just Central Ohio schools.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't want to.
Not thinking of a particular.
Right. So the two other reasons that I think are very important, especially as, you know, even as a taxpayer myself, due to a change in law about 3 or 4 years ago, There was a change with your current tax bill. You're kind of getting a kind of a rebate from the state, or they're kind of subsidizing part of your tax bill, and that's called the rollback reimbursement. So, you know, if you when you pay your property taxes, the state is actually paying 10% of that for you in the rollback reimbursement. Well, with that change in law, you know, the state legislature at the time didn't like that, you know, they're having to spend their state funds to pay part of your property tax bill, so they did away with that for any new levy. So if we were to have to pass a new levy to get rid of, you know, if this were levy were to not be renewed and we had to pass a new levy, our taxpayer, our residential taxpayers, would pay 10% more than what they're paying right now. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it would behoove us and it would behoove our taxpayers to renew this levy so that we can maintain that 10% rollback from the state.
Otherwise, that instead of it being 2.691 that we're collecting,
it would
have to go up to cover
to
the loss
the
of that
yeah.
of the rollback.
So was that 10% rollback put in place in 1989 when the original levy mm-hmm. went through?
Yeah, the 10% rollback was just in law. I don't know when the original law passed. It's been a long time ago, and it's been in law ever since then, up until, like you said, about 3 or 4 years ago. And at that point, they said any new levies after this point, the 10% rollback no longer applies. But because this is a renewal levy, we could still take advantage of that 10%.
I think we need to really make that clear,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the community. Because that's pretty big.
It is. And it's new money or replacement. I think, isn't it, in a replacement you lose that 10% as well?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So even bigger than that one, though, to me, is the shift in tax burden. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of a little complicated spreadsheet, but this will illustrate it for you. Yeah. So our current property valuation, this breaks it down by Class 1, Class 2, and public utility personal property tax. So our Class 1 valuation there is $541 million. And then the current effective mills of this renewal levy. So for Class 1, like I said, it's collecting at about 2.7. Class 2, it's still at about 6.3. And then for PUP, it actually collects at its voted tax rate. That never changes. So it's at the 6.56. The next line down there shows what the current revenue that levy is generating. So from the residential side, it's generating a little over $1.4 million. Class 2, about $1 million. $700,000 for PUP. So as it said, total revenue, just about $3.2 million. But as I said, you know, there's a big difference there between what Class 1 effective millage rate is compared to Class 2. If this levy were to not be renewed and we had to pass a new levy, you can't just say, well, we want to pass 2 mills for residential and 6 for commercial. You know, you can't do that. It's just going to be one flat rate. So if we needed to pass a new levy that collected about the same amount, we would actually have to pass it at about 4 mills. So what would happen would be our Class 2, our commercial taxpayers, and our public utility personal property taxpayers, they would actually see a reduction in taxes, whereas our residential property taxpayers would see an increase in taxes. And that's, you know, to the tune of about almost one and a half mills, which is, you know, over half of what the current levy ask is. So that tax burden shift, our residential taxpayers would be paying over $700,000 more per year, and in the business and commercial would be paying $700,000 a year less.
Okay, so of the 26.576 mills that we're doing, does that correlate to the current revenue of $3 million?
That current revenue is only based on what the renewal levy is generating. So that's based on the 2.691 as well as the 6.3 and the 6.5 based on each class of property value.
That's just the
renewal. The 6.56 renewal, yeah.
Todd, do you have a number? I mean, what's on $100,000 worth of value? What would that? I mean, how much money are we talking about in tax dollars?
$2 million.
Yeah. You can do the calculator. I can't do it in my head, so.
I think I've got a little tax calculator, maybe.
Yeah.
So, let's see. So
3 mil is about 35.
So we would say about 2.5 mils is what we were saying. About $87.
Okay.
And that's what they're currently paying.
All right, that's what
per $100,000, yeah.
So it's about $87 a tax per $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody's paying monthly mortgage payments.
And this calculator takes into effect the House bill, I mean, the rollback.
Okay.
So that number would actually be different if the rollback were done away with as well.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Wait a second. Yeah. That one, I didn't even realize it. So, yeah, actually, 76.
Okay.
So I didn't know I even had created this. I must have did this a couple years ago.
Okay.
So it's actually $76 when you take the rollback into account.
Right.
If the rollback went away, it would be 87.
Oh, okay.
So because of that rollback, they're saving about $11. $11 per year per $100,000 of value.
So that's about, on the tax bill, if you take that figure and divide it by 12, it comes out at the 76 divided by 12 is 6.34, so about $6.34 a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people are paying per
$100,000. Right.
Okay.
So I love that slide there, because I mean I think it's just so clear the difference in renewing our current levy versus having to put a new one on.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge impact.
So this will be the sixth renewal if I'm counting it right.
And yeah, I had the original plus
every five years.
Mm-hmm. Plus five past renewals, mm-hmm. So this would be number six.
Was mm-hmm. there trouble with any of them?
I can show you real quick. So what do we say? 89 is when it passed. So back at that point, they originally tried to pass as a continuing levy. And those failed, and so then it was passed just barely as a five-year. So then again in 94, it passed 56%. Then in 99, it passed at 60%. Then we got in 2004, it passed at 63%. 2009, it passed at 64%. And then 71% in 2013.
That's a pretty good trend.
Yeah, mm-hmm. trending upward for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Has village dropped?
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Well, and how is the attendance, the total enrollment, this compared to 5 years ago? In the district.
Enrollment of this district.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've got enrollment at least easily to go back that far.
Or approximately.
We. Pretty flat. We haven't moved substantially since I've been here. Up 50 kids, down 50 kids.
Okay.
For the past 5 years.
I can look it up.
Yeah, I don't really know what it was like before that. I mean, I know the class size seems like between like 07 and I'm thinking about my own kids, so between 2007 and 2012, that class size seemed like it changed maybe, I don't know, by 40 or 50 kids.
It's always easy to say we're right around 400. Some years we're slightly above, some years we're slightly below, but I think, you know, and it's cyclical. It goes one after the other. So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
we'll
have a really small class of like 376, but then we had one of like 425. So we'll always say around 400.
Okay, so, you know, looking at what are our most likely options for renewing the levy. So, you know, so one obvious option is just to renew it as a 5-year renewal levy. So, you know, you would put it on there. It would continue to, I think the levy language would say 6.56, but it would collect at that 2 point, whatever, it might even be less by, you know, by the time we would be passing it. So it would need renewed 5 years from the date that we pass it. Or from the date that it would expire, I should say. Mm-hmm. A second option would be we could renew it into a continuing levy. This currently is our only renewal levy that's left. We used to have, I don't know how many million, you know, renewal levies. It seemed like every other year we were, you know, having to pass a new levy. So there's a lot of levy fatigue. So we're down to this is our only renewal. You know, as you showed, this was passed way back in 89 and has been passed every year and is, you know, only gaining steam. So a good option might be to renew it into a continuing levy. And then so due to the timing and everything, there's a more complicated, but I think a very beneficial option, which would be to renew the levy into a continuing levy with a no new millage PI levy. So I'm going to go through three slides that usually confuse people and then try to sum it up in a fourth slide that kind of makes it more simple. So this option, it really affects or impacts all three of, you know, we always talk about our three buckets of money, our bond fund, permanent improvement fund, and the general fund. So I'm going to hit all three of those, and then, like I said, hopefully the fourth slide will tie it all together. So the first issue would be with our bond fund. So, you know, when I started here, our bond fund was not self-sufficient. You know, we were having to use our TIF revenue from the PI fund to pay off our debt. So now we're to the point where our bond fund is self-sufficient, currently collects at 9.41 mils, and that's what it's been collecting at for the past probably 3 or 4 years. We've actually been able to build up a little bit of a balance in the bond fund, which is a good thing. It kind of insulates you against, you know, a large swing in delinquencies or a large drop in property values, those kinds of things. So, and then a balance in the bond fund can only be used to pay off debt. So it's not like we can, you know, do anything with that money other than pay debt. So that we're starting to build up a little bit of a reserve there, which is a good thing.
And you can't pay it off early.
Correct.
Right?
It's
that
not
was one
like
of the question that came up in the finance committee.
Exactly. It's not like a house mortgage
yeah.
where you can pay it off early to save interest. Really, the only thing you can do to save money on your debt is to refinance, mm-hmm. and we've done that every chance that we could. Mm-hmm. You know, there may be some opportunities in the future, but right now it looks like it could be a few years out. So right now there's really no activity there.
So assuming bonds just run the way they are, in the very last year, the auditor would make an adjustment so that everything comes out.
Correct.
Even.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's, I think if I remember right, it's about 2029 or 2030 when our bonds would be fully paid off.
Okay.
And then when I say about 25%, I'm meaning 25% of our annual debt payment, which is right now, I think this year it's about $7.5 million, something like that. So due to that, if the county auditor, you know, monitors that every year, you know, we have a conversation and, you know, she looks at, you know, what is our debt payment that's due this year. You know, what happened with valuation and, you know, what millage do we need to collect at? At some point, if we continue to build up a reserve, she's going to say, well, you know, where do we want that reserve to stop? How high do you want it to go? You know, we need to bring that bond millage down some. So, I mean, that is likely coming in the future. She's probably not going to do anything this year. There's a lot of uncertainty with CAUV values, you know, with the new state budget. The CAUV values are probably going to be bringing our total valuation down some. But I would say most likely December of 2018, she's probably going to reduce our bond millage. So let's just say for purposes of this discussion, hypothetically, we'll say it's 2 mils. Okay, so let's just say that we're going to drop our bond millage by 2 mils. So that would be a...
It's hypothetical.
Hypothetical.
Okay.
So that would be a reduction in millage in total. So then let's move on to the Permanent Improvement Fund. currently the Permanent Improvement Fund collects at 2.91 mils. Right now, our TIF revenue from the city is posted to the PI fund. Before, that was used to pay off the debt, as I mentioned, and really a lot of the permanent improvement needs, such as asphalt and buses, those things had really fallen behind. So right now, that TIF revenue is being used to, you know, get caught up on those things, which I think we're pretty well caught up, and then also to sustain the permanent improvement forecast. You know, to buy we've got those things planned out for 20 years, the buses and the asphalt and all those things. That TIF revenue is used to sustain that forecast. Well, the idea with the no new millage PI option, levy option, would be to, if we're reducing the bond millage by about 2 mils, we could actually increase the PI levy by about 2 mils. So, in essence, we'd be adding, even though we're adding money, adding millage to the PI fund, we're reducing millage from the bond fund, so it's really it's offset. So there's no increase in millage. So that's where the third pot of money, the general fund, would come into play. So since the PI fund would now be generating more money due to those two additional mills, that would allow the flexibility to take that TIF revenue that's currently going into the PI fund, that could then go into the general fund. The reason we would want to do that is that would push out the time when we would need to ask for a new money levy ask by at least a year. So just the whole goal of, even though we're not increasing, we wouldn't be increasing millage, that's why we would call it no new millage permanent improvement levy, would give us the flexibility of pushing that next levy out another year. The last new money levy we passed was in 2008. So once we hit 2018, that will be a decade. Based on the current forecast, by doing this option, we could currently push it out to about 2023. So we'd be at a decade and a half between new money levies. And as I started to stumble over myself there, making it more confusing. And to summarize, basically, the bond millage would go down, the PI millage would go up, but total millage would stay the same, with the goal of pushing back new money levy.
This third option is a continuing. It would make it continuing as well.
Correct.
Okay, so. If you were to write this out for a ballot, is it confusing or is it clear?
Well, it's confusing because I want to make sure you guys knew every single detail. Okay.
Okay.
I don't think that we can advertise every single detail like that, but we need to advertise the main points. I think first off, we need to make sure they understand the rollback and they understand the tax burden shift. Mm-hmm. Those are two main points as to why we need to. Continue this levy, and then as far as this option goes, I think on the ballot there would be two. You'd be looking at two things, but you would vote yes or no once based on those two things. One would be to make this renewal levy a continuing levy, and two would be to approve a two-mil permanent improvement levy.
And hopefully it would say no new millage. I'm not sure.
That's a good question.
Okay.
I'll have to look into that.
Okay. Yeah.
So it would split into 0.1, 0.2, but you'd vote yes or no for both of them together.
Thing.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. I know because, we had a finance committee meeting last week, I think a week ago, and so this was presented to the finance committee, and one thing that came out of there was just the fact that this option, it means that we're using our money more effectively, more efficiently, just kind of like if you think about your own budget, sometimes you have to move things around. But again, the challenge is that the majority of people don't really understand the three different buckets and the limitations that you have and how you can spend the money in each one of those buckets. But that's where hopefully. Between the finance committee, between the board, you have some good discussion, and we have a better understanding than others. Yeah. But
I know at the finance meeting, the 2 points, one, whether to make it continue or not, mm-hmm. there was very strong support. And I don't remember anybody bringing up that it needed to be renewed as a 5-year. Everybody at that point said, you know, it's been renewed already 5 times. Mm-hmm. It was passed initially, so it's been voted on 6 times. Mm-hmm. Our expenses are not likely to go down. Mm-hmm. They're more likely to go up, and so making it continuing, I think, seemed to be the sentiment of the members of the Finance Committee. And the same thing with this option, that there was a lot of agreement, that once they understood how things work, mm-hmm. There were a lot of heads nodding, I don't think.
It does make sense.
Yeah.
Other than being pretty complex for, right, you know, right, for the general
that
public.
Was, and that, you know, making sure that the message was clear, giving people the opportunity to really understand. Mm-hmm. The other thing, and I don't know where this fits into the end of the discussion, but I know having sat with levy committees, the levy committee has to raise money outside of the school district. No tax dollars can be used to run the campaign. Mm-hmm. And it's tens of thousands of dollars. I think the last time it was somewhere $35,000,
$40,000. I don't remember.
It was some significant dollars that came out of people's pockets. Mm-hmm. And so I've always had in the back of my head, when you're talking about efficient use of dollars, for the school district to have to every 5 years come up, right, you know, or a levy committee to come up with $30,000 out of the pockets of taxpayers in our community just didn't seem very efficient to me. Mm-hmm. That
it's a lot of time. I mean, our teachers put in a lot of time. And
right.
It's
it's distracting.
It's a large.
Yeah, and especially when you think November. I mean, that's right during the middle of the school year, and
right.
You know, there was a lot of hours and a lot of work, mm-hmm. passing out water bottles, mm-hmm. at soccer fields, mm-hmm. and so forth to get the message.
I think it makes so much sense to me that by making all those shifts and being able to use the TIF money into the general fund and extending that even further.
Right. You know, well, I mean, you can see what the benefit of using our TIF money in the PI fund is done, you know, so it's just the next logical step.
Right. Did you say that last point, how many years do you think it would push things?
The current forecast shows a deficit in 2022, I believe, and then, you know, this would, again, there's so many different two state budgets in between there, so,
right.
You know, hard to say, but this would at least push it out by a year, you know, and again, could be more depending on how a lot of different factors would come into play.
Based on what we know right now, you feel confident that we would move 1 year out, mm-hmm. To 2023.
Correct.
For 2022.
And as the taxpayer, you're paying the same millage that you were before.
Right.
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 So with no more dollars out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. We're paying our bond debt. We're keeping that permanent improvement fund sustainable based on the 20-year forecast that we did, however many years ago that was now, 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. ago. And extending the general operating levy or fund by a year, so. And actually on Thursday, you'll be showing us your October forecast,
right,
too. So,
who all is on the Finance Committee?
You, Hank Burby, Dick and I attended. Hank Burby's there, Casey Sattler, Kim O'Neill, Kathy Alexander, Gwen Murray, Jeff Featheroff. I think who else?
Gail Jenkins.
Yeah, Gail Jenkins and Greg Roars. I mean, there's, I don't know how, like maybe 15 or so actually on the committee, and,
yeah,
and we usually have a pretty good turnout,
yeah.
I think. And they've all been on that committee since all, like maybe the second year that I've been on the board. So I think they all, most of them have at least 5 years experience. So they've seen 5-year forecasts for the last 5 years. They've gone through a levy renewal. Yeah.
And I know that they've asked Todd some tough, pointed questions.
Yeah.
They're not shy about.
Right.
You know, making sure that they understand. And
mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and I think the toughest, the most challenging part about this is just the complexity to the general taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
Them trying to understand it, but I think starting this conversation now, a full year plus in advance, and we also have a levy committee that has some good experience on it, and I think the leadership in that committee touches a nice variety of people in the community, and I think you also have plans of going out and talking at a lot of different places too, so, because I mean you're going to need to have face to face.
I think this one, like I talked at finance committee, probably calls itself to more of that neighborhood coffee kind
yes.
of communication in case people have questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of those
nice small group settings.
People,
mm-hmm.
Large group settings are important, but they're not going to be quite as impactful as being able to answer the question, well, we really don't believe this is going to happen, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we kind of did that when we renewed this one the last time and combined the 5 and 4. We had
right.
to adjust that strategy
mm-hmm.
just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know you had some nice PowerPoints that everybody had that they could show at their house when they had coffees. And,
yeah.
And obviously it worked pretty well.
So what I wanted
70
my
plus
coffee,
percent.
PowerPoints.
Kind of like book club.
So when do we plan on starting to put this out?
Well, this is kind of your first glance. I mean, and it's kind of your opportunity to kind of tell us
the direction
that you want to head. Because you really have three options, right? We can do a
right.
straight renewal, and we can renew it again in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We can do the continuing. We can renew it to continue
mm-hmm.
and then get it off with the thought that we'll probably be on in 2022-ish,
mm-hmm.
or we could try this last option where it would be, you know, renew that to continuing and switch, do the millage switch in there.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds
like a little dance. Do the
millage switch. That's right. That's right. I kind of just explain it as you're moving from one to the other.
I think we can get our music department or Bunsell, the ones that always do those really creative little skits.
I definitely think we need to take renew off of the... Just the plain renew it, I think we need to take that totally off the board.
And the other thing you need to recognize is the fact that, you know, unlike when I first got here, we had one time to ask for something.
Right.
We have three full attempts, kind of like you outlined, November, May, and November.
Right.
So this is permanent improvement money, this renewal?
No, it's general operating.
Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. The no millage is... The switch from the bond, when the bond millage needs to be reduced because we're collecting more than we need to be collecting, then you switch that reduction from the bond to a plus for the PI,
okay,
and it nets to zero.
But then the
656
is on the operating side.
Okay,
the 656 is operating funds that we need to renew. That's what's up. The switch becomes where we're collecting. And building a balance in our bond debt, so in that bucket, so we'd actually be able to, in essence, shift what people are paying here over to PI and then take the TIF money out of there to help aid our
general
operating money and extend that past 20. The benefit is we could actually extend out past 2022 in that case for new money.
I guess it's just, I think it's really important that we clarify for everyone that this is general operating money.
I think you're right.
Yes.
Okay, because it's going to beg the question, you know, interface with the stadium project and stuff.
Right.
We're telling them no, and then they see this, and got to make sure that the message is crystal clear.
Absolutely.
That this is for the schools, this is for the teachers, this is for...
Right.
So I think the feedback from Finance Committee, too, was that we needed to, in essence, equate what this levy generates for us. So is it 42 staff members or, you know, the message wasn't, you know, necessarily about being threatening, but just giving an equation to what that is. And I think we got powerful feedback from that. The first levy we ran, I would tell you that I don't think we had quite enough information when I came in the door to say, hey, it would absolutely be seven teachers, you know, whatever. We just didn't. Right. But after, when we did it again in the spring, I had a package put together for the board to consider, and then we had another package for the next one that outlined what that would be.
Right.
What our reality would be without that money.
Right.
And it's important people know that.
Yeah, and I think also, and the reason I asked the question, if you're talking about $6.34 per 100,000 of home value, for a $300,000 home, that's still a little less
like $20.
Yeah,
a month.
So we're not, you know, sometimes I think people focus on, you know, an increase or a change in taxes. And if, as you were talking about, you know, people aren't going to really notice a reduction. And so sliding millage from bonds over to PI, people aren't going to go out and take a vacation on their savings if it was not renewed. And I agree that I think that continuing is the way to go.
Yeah, I feel like from what you outlined, the third option seems like it makes sense. And if something weird happens with it, then there's two more tries. But it seems to me that however it ends up being worded on the ballot, it's not that hard to explain what it all means. Is that right?
Yeah, I think if we can start putting the package now... And letting people know that it's exactly the same as if they were just renewing it, okay, only that we're going to be saving them more money in the long run, okay? And if we can make that clear, everybody, I think, is going to be in tune to doing that, because if we're backing it up at least a year to ask for new money, I think that's huge.
Yeah, and overall makes it 15.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, which is pretty unheard of.
Not paying any more taxes.
Right.
Operate the schools for another year.
Right.
Right. Just by using our money more effectively.
Right. So I say option three. And I think we have plenty enough time to be getting it together and getting it out there. And, you know, I think that is the most... responsible way as for us to be going is because if we're saving that kind of money, I don't think we cannot do it.
Right. And I like the idea of moving that bond money to the PI, and because we know our buildings are getting older, and so, you know, our maintenance needs. And I know that they took that into account when they did that forecast. But our needs are not going to be going down in that area. And Ash, I know another thing that came up in the Finance Committee meeting, somebody asked about the permanent improvement levy, and that is a continuing levy, and so we haven't had to vote on any kind of permanent improvement funds. They've been the same since forever, really.
Yeah, I don't know if I can look when that was passed.
Yeah.
Is this the only one left that we have as a...
The 656 operating, yes. That's the only renewal left.
And we're only, you know, the state minimum is 20 mils. We're only at 26 mils.
Right.
I mean...
That's pretty darn good.
That's very good.
Right.
So 98 was when our PI...
Okay.
Levy was passed.
Okay. So it's been just collecting that same amount since 1998.
Collecting the same amount of revenue to some extent,
revenue.
But millage has gone down because it was originally passed at 5 mils and now it's down to 2.9 maybe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, we could play with the way of expressing 3 point whatever million dollars a year. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could put it in terms of the number of teacher positions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There may be ways to present it that are more compelling. I don't know what moves people. Maybe some people think there should be...
I think teacher positions are pretty compelling.
Yeah.
You know, I think when you start talking about
that
the number of staff...
And not asking for new money.
Well,
at
there,
least
well, that,
another
yeah.
year out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and making sure that people know at that time, mm-hmm. you're looking at 15 years since we've asked for new money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's huge
mm-hmm.
with what has been done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know if that somebody called told me just like this, okay, like mm-hmm. we're all taxpayers too, so
mm-hmm.
this all being the same, but knowing that third choice saves me another year of no new taxes
mm-hmm.
in our school system
right.
is, to me, amazing.
Yeah.
Well, like, for example... How many teachers did you say? Maybe 30 to 40?
I said it'd be over 50. I mean, it depends. If you look at which a teacher on which part of the salary schedule, so I kind of just took mm-hmm. an average number.
Like if you converted that to class size, for instance, if the enrollment mm-hmm. is...
Pretty flat.
Flat.
Mm-hmm.
That might be another number that moves some people.
Mm-hmm.
Or that may not. I don't know. I don't know until I talk to people what... Mm-hmm. Sometimes people say surprising things.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if there's 50 less teachers. Somebody might say that. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah. If you have resources in the classroom or, I don't know, extracurricular activities, that's always. Yeah. Well, we don't want to go. Yeah. Yeah, well, I think it sounds like it's fairly clear. I agree with that too. I like the third option. I think that's the best use.
It's
the best use of taxpayer dollars.
Yeah. The most fiscally responsible.
I agree.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So now our burden is just to and the levy committee's burden is really to be able to explain this and answer questions and just kind of have our ears open out there.
Okay.
On a per household basis, it is really a low impact, and wasting resources, community resources, to run levy campaigns over and over again after
mm-hmm.
it's been renewed five or six times, does seem wasteful.
Right, and I mean, if you look at Marysville, I know our headcount has been fairly flat, but it certainly doesn't look like it's going to stay flat forever. You know, if you look at the way things are being built, I don't think we're going to be looking at smaller class sizes anytime in the near future. So,
well, yeah.
So I mean, that's just another reason, like Dick said, I mean, our expenses aren't going to be going down.
Right.
So might as well lock in this renewal and get that 10% rollback and not be paying any additional tax.
Put in there as well.
Yeah.
You know, just the key points mm-hmm. of that. And, I mean, it's kind of elementary if people will take the time look at it as to what the savings and the benefits are.
Right. And that's why you start the conversation early, because, as we all know, you have to hear something, at least 7 times before it sinks in?
That's what they say.
That's what they say, so... Here's number one. Number two for me and Dick, and it's so much more clear already.
Yeah. I'm starting to grasp it. Like I said,
Okay.
If I get it down, I mean, I'm not sure what a latte at Starbucks cost.
$4.95.
Yeah. There you go.
Is that a tall or a grande?
So this is less for a $100,000 house. This is less than the cost of 2 Starbucks lattes.
Yeah, but how many trips to Wits? See, that's really the where it gets painful.
That's really good. Okay. Anybody have any more questions?
No.
I'll probably have more later on.
Laying it out.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
Simple
yeah.
the way you did it. So.
Thank you. Yeah,
look at that.
Yay!
Yay!
Yeah.
Yep.
Just informational. I was, there are some meetings in Columbus, the Department of Education. I was asked to attend 2 meetings on College Credit Plus. And so I'll be going to those 2 meetings in October.
Okay.
And I've been working on trying to set things up, and I've got some callbacks for senior citizens centers and just their coffee, sit and answer questions. And I don't know, I was doing that. I ended up being the program for this women's group on the spur of the moment. And told them that I didn't have any presentation, I wasn't pushing any agenda, I just, did they have any questions about the school system, I'd try to give them an answer, and things seemed to go well. Followed up with a phone call and some questions I couldn't answer, and so, anyway.
Are you
going
to do any of that again soon, or?
Yeah, that's some, I've got a sheet here, we've got some people I got to call back, got one set up, and ran into a hiccup on one, so I'm going to go back and see if we can't smooth that one out. Mm-hmm. Have several other sites that I've contacted and have to call back and check and see, has the dates and times and so forth, so trying to get that taken care of.
Somewhat related, but Brian had asked about the community copy, so just a reminder that was moved to this coming Saturday. And Dick and I had originally signed up because the 16th, I'm not sure that other people were available. So, I mean, unless somebody has a strong desire, Dick and I will be to attend.
No, I'm not even available. Anyway.
Okay, so we'll be out there at the Raymond Library on Saturday.
At the Raymond Library.
Yes, 10 o'clock.
10 a.m.
Yes.
I'll be there.
That's actually who we're featuring as our first business of the month with Raymond Elementary.
Yes. Oh, really?
At the board meeting on Thursday.
That'll be perfect,
won't
it?
The program that they put on with Carol.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I know Edgewood's fourth grade, well, not to Raymond, but Edgewood's fourth graders went to Marysville Public Library today. They had a little walking field trip down there, so
perfect.
Pretty nice.
And I was down in Columbus at the Ohio Center for Law-Related Education.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a booth. The Ohio Supreme Court has an education center, and the woman that was manning the table lives in Marysville. And several of our elementaries have made trips down to the Supreme Court, and they have a transportation grant fund to help some school districts with the busing costs to come down to the Ohio Supreme Court. And so we talked about that and so forth. So
good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Keep running into people.
Do we have a motion to adjourn our meeting then?
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?